The military is trying to figure out why an F-35 engine caught fire, leaving the Pentagon to ground the fledgling fleet of fighter jets. But meanwhile, Pentagon office planners are looking long-term. They're thinking about how to control maintenance costs on a fleet that will eventually reach more than 2,000 aircraft and fly for something like 40 years. Defense News has reported that the planners are considering a worldwide competition for maintenance. Can it work? For some answers, we turn to Hal Crispin. He is Vice President of ICF International, and he has 25 years experience in the aviation industry. Hi, Hal.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. So first of all, just start off by describing to us exactly what we're talking about. What does sustainment work entail?
It includes a variety of different activities. On one hand, you've got the maintenance activities, airframe depot maintenance, where an airplane goes in the hangar and they take it apart and fix it, you know, look for corrosion and cracks and that sort of thing. You've got engine overhaul, where an engine is removed from the wing, sent into a shop, disassembled, repaired, and sent back to the airplane. You've got component repair, which is pretty similar to engine repair or engine overhaul, but it's focused on components like landing gear or actuators or those types of things. And then you have field maintenance, which is the stuff that's done on the flight line. In the United States, we call that operational and intermediate maintenance, and that's the types of things that are done mostly by uniformed personnel. In addition to the maintenance activities, you have sustaining engineering, where the OEMs typically will provide engineering support to resolve in-service problems. You've got supply chain management, which is really managing the supply chain of spare parts. Pilot training and mechanic training. All in all, you've got about $93 billion that's spent on those types of activities around the world.
And what is the mode for how the military does it now? Is it mostly the OEM, or do they have competitive contracts around the world as they're proposing for the F-35?
Well, it's a mix. Now, it's what the U.S. JPO, General Bogdan, is proposing for the F-35 is a bit different than what you see normally. Here you're talking about the U.S. JPO essentially moving the chess pieces around. And essentially what he said is that the JPO will divide the world into three regions, America, Europe, and Asia, and that the JPO will decide who can provide the sustainment services within each region. That level of control is pretty unusual, and I think, you know, a couple of examples of how other prolific legacy aircraft programs have done it would be useful if you want.
Sure, go ahead.
Sure. So, you know, a couple of different programs that make sense to talk about, C-130, F-16, and F-18 are three really good examples of aircraft with large fleets, and they have a lot of different operators and a lot of money spent on sustainment. You know, the C-130 has over 1,300 aircraft globally, $4.1 billion spent on sustainment. The F-16 has nearly 3,000 aircraft globally with $8.1 billion spent on sustainment. And then the F-18 has over 1,500 aircraft globally with $6.1 billion.
So how do they do it?
In the U.S., each of those has been done mostly organically. That means that the work is typically done in a U.S. government depot. However, that's changing a little bit, and that's not completely true for each of those activities. So, for example, you know, the OEMs are still involved even in that activity where it's done, the maintenance work is done primarily in depots through engineering support and supplying spare parts. But globally, there are a lot of countries that have their own maintenance capabilities. That's particularly true for labor-intensive things like airframe depot maintenance that mean a lot of jobs. And many suppliers, including the OEMs like Lockheed Martin or Pratt & Whitney, or component OEMs or engine OEMs and independent suppliers compete in a global market. So it's not really controlled for those legacy aircraft the same way that the F-35 JPO is talking about doing that.
We're speaking with Hal Crispin. He's a vice president of ICF International. Well, here's a question then. If the price of the plane is what it is and then the maintenance is separate, is it possible that Lockheed could have built some of their future profits into the price by making sure they get the maintenance? In other words, if they don't get all of the maintenance they were expecting, or sustainment, I should say, does that mean that their profit picture could change based on the price they've offered for the acquisition?
Well, again, I'm sure that Lockheed Martin has built, you know, a certain portion of sustainment activity into their business plan as they build this going forward. But you know, I think what's important here is that the way the F-35 has been designed and the development process has been much more focused on sustainment than historical programs. So they've built, you know, reliability, maintainability, and sustainability into the aircraft as they've done it. And so that's been a focus all along.
Hal, just a few minutes ago, you mentioned the magic word, jobs. And, you know, you say that with connection to a military program, and you can already feel the ears on Capitol Hill perking up. So how many jobs are potentially here when we're talking about sustainment of the F-35?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. You know, I don't know that we've done an analysis of specifically how many jobs, but, you know, if you just look in the U.S., the number of military personnel that are, you know, called maintainers, it's, you know, in the 600,000 or 700,000 number. So that's just in the United States. And so the number of jobs is really pretty dramatic. I mean, airframe depot maintenance, you know, for a C-130, for example, going into a hangar, that airplane is going to take, you know, 50,000 man hours over a few months to do the work and get it back out and be, you know, on that flight line again.
So what might Congress say about the Pentagon's plan to do this worldwide competition then when so many jobs are at stake?
Well, you know, in the U.S., I'm sure that the, you know, the Air Force and the Navy will stand up capabilities to do the airframe maintenance at, you know, the main Air Force and Navy depots. So, you know, I think that we have a strong enough depot caucus, which is, you know, basically the depot's lobbying organization, that and it makes sense. I mean, we also have laws here that say, you know, at least 50% of the maintenance work, the maintenance man hours, have to be performed in government facilities. And that's really a one way to make sure that the U.S. maintains or keeps the capabilities to sustain their aircraft over time.
Now, this plane has a lot of new technology in it, even in the way it's built. I think they glue it together instead of riveting it together, things like that. So does the industrial base for sustainment and maintenance now have the capabilities that the original equipment manufacturer has?
No, I think, but that's not necessarily unusual. But I think that one of the things that's happening here that's important is that the approach to sustainment is changing over time, and it changes both within a program, you know, the F-35 or any one of these individual programs, because within a program, usually the manufacturer will have some sort of interim logistics support that goes for a period of years until either the government stands up capabilities or they decide, you know, to change their philosophy. And it's also changing over time kind of globally as countries change their philosophy and strategy towards sustainment. And that you're seeing a shift from kind of a transactional support where countries or militaries, operators, buy a drink of transaction, or a drink of sustainment, rather than a more inclusive performance-based program, which is, you know, where we see a lot of activity happening now. And that's an interesting shift in the market because you've seen an increase since 2009 in outsourcing. So, you know, governments outsourcing it to suppliers by about 10 points. In 2009, about 35% of the sustainment spending was outsourced, and today it's 45%. And we've also seen a growth of about 10 points in the use of these performance-based programs. And those performance-based programs, the company or the provider of the service is paid based on meeting certain performance metrics rather than the number of man hours and material that goes into it. So that type of program really aligns the incentives of both the supplier and the customer to reduce the cost and increase the availability of the aircraft.
And is that how it's done by the airlines that have lots of planes too?
That's a mix as well. You know, you have 700 or so airlines out there, so it's really a broad mix. But you have a lot more outsourcing, and you do have a lot of particularly smaller airlines where they have, you know, not a large enough fleet to economically justify, you know, standing up their own capability. They go to suppliers like Lufthansa Technics or Delta Tech Ops, or, you know, Boeing and Airbus are getting into that as well on that side. So, you know, they are using something similar to this, I guess, in some cases.
All right. Hal Chrisman is Vice President of ICF International. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed talking to you.